Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
The roughest edge. You might pick me up and notice that I am. See, I'm not what I used to be. You might pick me up and notice that I am. Lord, I'm just a little smoother. In
Music for the soul. Music you can taste. That's right. Bridget Bryant. Rolling River God. I am a stone. I'm just going to let the river just smooth me over. Until then, I'm going to keep rolling and rolling and rolling. Bridget Bryant. You can find out more about her by going to her website address, bridgetbryant.com. But your best bet is to go to iTunes. Don't just love it up. Exchange your energy. Download it. Pay for it so she can be replenished and you. That's how you make it grow. So she can come back with more and more. Because when you give of yourself and people exchange energy with you, money in this case, let's be real clear, it just inspires you to do more because you have the money to create more and more and more, if you get what I mean. Bridget Bryant, Rolling River God. I love that sister. She has such a soulful, spirited voice. And I am grateful for her, to call her friend, definitely grateful for that and be able to share her creation. Good evening, good night, good morning, good afternoon, good day to you wherever you may find yourself right this very moment. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And when you change with the change, when you embrace the change, when you surrender to the change, you make a mighty difference. You become the change you want to see. You become the answered prayer. And when you change, you realize you were the change you were looking for. You're listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We call her Rev D, and you can too, because you're part of the family. I am Life Coach Ade, the producer. Here to support you in moving it forward, getting it, doing all the stuff that needs to be done behind the scenes and keeping you entertained, waking you up. Living in the Yes is the platform, is the space, is the place where we invite you to step into your yes, to surrender in a new way, to open yourself up to being used. Because you are available. You may not know it, but I'm telling you, you are. But it's better when you know that you are available. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346 is the number. Join the conversation. Share your thoughts. Maybe you want to share how you are living in the yes. Maybe you want to share your challenges, some things that you've been trying, you can't quite figure it out. and you need some coaching, some counseling, some guidance, some insight on it, 347-426-3346. And make sure you press one on your keypad so that let us know that you want to add to the conversation. And when you add your voice, your energy to the conversation, all of us are blessed. We learn more from you. We learn from Rev D. And we all leave feeling much better than we were. So don't be bashful. Jump in there. You can post your questions as well in the chat room. Those of you who are listening online, thank you for tuning in. Those of you listening on the phone lines, we appreciate you. And those of you listening to the archive, thank you, thank you, thank you. And a special thank you to those of you who are sharing the show, telling your friends about it. If you want to live in the yes and you want it to be even more joyful, you better share the show. So you won't have to do too much explaining. 347-426-3346 is the number. Tonight's topic, tonight's theme is resilience. And Rev D is standing by to just serve us some soul food. Hey, Rev D, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. And how are you?
I am good. I am centered. I am open and just waiting and anticipating what you share with us today.
Well, so am I.
I know, that's right. Isn't that just awesome when you find yourself saying something you've never said before, or you hear it at the first time you're saying it? There's just something about that feeling. It just turns me on.
So am I. Just listening. Mm-hmm. Resilience. You know, I like to talk about universal spiritual principles. I like to talk about the things that have an indelible truth about them, where they're not culturally specific. It's not dependent upon time or history. I like to do the universal truths that you see across culture and time and tradition, things that all religious traditions that are leading towards truth, you know, will all say. There's a place of commonality that's there. And it's not that I don't have regards for the particulars of any religious tradition, their, you know, rituals or their tenets, you know, their particular creed or doctrine that's very, very specific to them. You know, we do it this way. I like to hang out at the place of the universal, you know, that place that's beyond this is the right way, you know, this is the wrong way, this is the only way, but just kind of what genuinely is. No spiritual tradition promises you a rose garden. None of them say, if you do everything that you're supposed to do, you know, to the letter, that you get some sort of get out of hell free card, that you get some escape out of the aches and pains of life. They don't tell you that. But what all of them do say is that if you do your spiritual work, you will be resilient. Not saying you won't ever get knocked down, but the promise is that you'll be able to get back up. The promise is that you can restore, that you can rejuvenate, that you can renew. The reason why we have the resilience is because there's something within us that is transcendent. Who we are is not just a human being that is subjected to a collection of different experiences. That's not fundamentally who or what we are. We're not first and foremost a human being that has some extra part of within us called a soul. It's the other way around. We are first and foremost spiritual beings who are incarnate in physical bodies. Carnate. Carne, meat, flesh. We have an incarnation. Our spirit is in a body, in some sort of flesh form. But the who and what we are is bigger than what's going on in our own little individual lives and individual incarnations. When we know that and we remember that, then we are able to survive the slings and arrows of misfortune, as Shakespeare would say, that happen to us in the human realm. I'm reminded of the parable of the two foundations that's found at the end of the seventh chapter of the book of Matthew in the New Testament and the Gospels of the Holy Bible. It appears at the very end of what we know of as the Sermon on the Mount, which is a collection of sayings of Jesus's that have been put together, and they form the very basis for most of the Christian religion as far as its tenets are concerned and principles. Within it, you have the Lord's Prayer and the Beatitudes, the Blessed Are They, and letters on things about forgiveness. I mean, it's the Sermon on the Mount's pretty jam-packed. And it's giving you all these different things about life and how to live your life. Conclusion of it, the way that this is put together, and I say it that way because it's doubtful that this was actually just one speech that was given, but a compilation of ideas. At the end, it says, he who hears these words and uses them, basically does something with them, is likened to the wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And when the winds and the rains come, the house still stands. He who hears these words and doesn't do anything with them is likened to the foolish man that builds his house upon the sand. And when the winds and the rains come, great is the fall of the house. This is not Jesus being negative. This is pure cause and effect. If then, if you do this, then you get that. If you do this other thing, its fruits are this. This is what happens. You do this, you get that. You hear these truths, you do something with them. When the rains come, wind, rain, your house still stands. You hear all these things that I have to say and you don't do anything with it, you're like the foolish man. Build your house on the sand. When the wind, rain comes, great is the fall. He's not being negative, nor is this just a construction lesson. In all the parables, you'll find that they're true on multiple levels. They're literally true, but there's also a way in which they're metaphorical. Historically true. This house that he's speaking of is the place where you live in consciousness. It's where you actually reside, not just the four walls that you live in as your house, your physical house, but each of us lives someplace. We have a dwelling place, like the end of the 23rd Psalms, when it says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. This isn't just saying I'm going to camp out in the temple. But there's a place where my consciousness is going to live. That's where I'm going to be. Now, when you reside someplace, this is where you live. This is where your stuff is. This is your address. Things that try to find you and catch up with you, they're going to be sent there because they know that's where you're going to pick it up. This is the place where you eat, you get nurtured, all your stuff is stored there. This is where you sleep. It's your touchstone. No matter what else is going on in the world, you keep going back to this spot, your starting place, so to speak, and your ending place. This is what your house is. This is what your home is. So think about this in terms of consciousness. Where do you really live? Where's your home? What are those thought forms that you keep returning to? What are the energy fields that you're constantly resonating with, that you're actually living inside of? Where do you live? Everybody lives someplace. Now, he's talking about foundations. A house has to have a foundation. A foundation to a house is the same thing that roots would be to a plant. Or to a tree. It's your place of anchoring. If you want something to be stable and not blown around, it has to rest someplace. It has to anchor someplace. It has to be embedded within something that isn't moving around. You put the tree in the, you put the seed in the ground. Before it sprouts up, it's going to go down. You're waiting for something topside, but it's going to happen underneath first. First the roots and then the fruits. Once it grows these roots, it's going to cling. The roots cling to the earth. They provide a little channel as well, a little canal system. So they're feeding off the nutrients of the earth. That's how they're getting sustained. You have to extend outside beyond your little life in order for you to get your sustenance. And it's very similar to a physical construction where this house has to be anchored somewhere. And he gives you these choices. He says you can build upon a rock, which is very solid and stable and it's not going anywhere, or you can build upon sand. Sand is granulated rock. Sand is rock that's been separated a lot. Anybody that hears me speak always hears me say that the only thing that ever needs to be healed is just the sense of separation. Sand shifts. You can't anchor in sand because it's constantly moving around. So what is this rock? And what is this sand? In every parable, everything stands for some state of consciousness. The terrain, the actors, the weather, the actions, everything. This isn't just a construction lesson. This is a lesson about life. So what are these two different foundations? What is a rock And what is sand, metaphorically speaking here? The rock is the place that's constant. It's much like I was speaking about at the beginning of this show, that I like to deal in the universal, the stuff that's not shifting and changing, and it's not conditioned upon the outer circumstances. There's some eternal truth to it. This is the rock that he's talking about. It's something that can stand the test of time. It's not based upon fads, and it's not circumstantial, that there's an isness that's about it. Sand, on the other hand, represents the temporal. It's the temporary. It's what's going on now in the moment. It's transitory. It is forever shifting and changing and moving. Okay. So if you try to anchor in sand, there's nothing solid there to hold what you're trying to build. The sand is going to shift. And when it shifts, then whatever that is that stuck itself in the sand, whatever that is that you were trying to build, is going to move with the sand. It's going to move as well. Because if your foundation shifts, then everything on top of it has to shift. Now, it's explaining that, yes, there are these two different kinds of foundations, but it describes the exact same circumstance and condition when the winds and the rains come. The winds and the rains aren't just the weather. They represent adversities, challenges, hard times, things that have been difficult for us. When they come, not if, but when. Not if, just when. Just because you build your house upon the rock doesn't mean you get to escape the wind and the rain. You get subjected to the wind and the rain too. The aches, the pains, the heartaches, the losses, the deaths, the divorces, the financial challenges, the aging body temple, you know, the various sundry of things that just go on that are just a part of life. You're going to be subjected to them too. But the difference is that if you're rooted in the rock, if you're anchored in the rock, if you build your life on something that is eternal, then when the stuff of life happens, you're resilient. When the stuff of life happens, you won't crumble all up underneath it. If you're not building on the rock and you're building on the temporary, the transitory, what's temporary and transitory? Anything that changes, relationships change, people come and go, the condition of the body changes, financial circumstances change, your jobs change, your family change, your home change, your communities change, your church changes. All these things change. They're like the sifting sand. And if you try to build your life around anything in the outer world that's coming and going, then when it comes or it goes, your world gets rocked. When things change, it starts to feel like somebody pulled the rug right from underneath you. We get devastated disoriented. And the sense of being lost, not knowing what to do. Oh, but there's resilience. We don't have to be thrown to and fro by the winds of change. We don't have to be a jumping bean, jumping all around, all over the place. I was on my pulpit the other day, and I was pretending to be a marionette, like a puppet, that my strings were just being pulled. You know, my arms and legs were just going up and down, and, you know, like I'm dancing, and saying that, you know, this is how we do. It's like the bills is pulling up my right arm, and the relationships pulling up the left leg, and it's just moving us all over the place. We're jerkable. We're jerkable when we're attached and building on the transitory stuff of the sand. Cut the strings. Cut the strings. Move to that place of non-attachment about that stuff and build on the rock. If you do that, then no matter what it is that life throws your way, you will be resilient. You will rebound. You will be restored. You will be rejuvenated. Knocked down, maybe, but not out. Breathe that in, and we'll take a break.
You're listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson, who is massaging on the inside, activating the soul truth within us. We are going to take a break. We're inviting you to join the conversation. The number is 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Whew. If these words just went to such a deep place, it just like, and I love what you said, cut the strings. Ooh, that's the trust, that's the surrender, that's the allowing. Let's take a break, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D. The Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Light Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mbasa Sophia, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
There are people in the world who make you feel that no matter how bad things are, you're going to make it. That though times are tough and the road looks rough, somehow you're going to reach your goal regardless of what you believe. That's what the 1-2 family is striving for. To be the voices that never say never and never tire of saying, you're going to make it. Join us, 1-2 Radio, 1-2 Listen, and 1-2Academy.com. We believe in you.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We call her Rev D. And today's topic, today's theme, or tonight, wherever you are, is resilience. And Rev D just took us on an inward journey. She returned us back to ourselves. We turn back. We turn around from all the illusions that are no longer serving us, and we turn back and we turn to love. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346 is the number. And if you're already listening, as some of you are listening on the phone lines, if you've got questions or you want to share your thoughts, you need some guidance, you want to share some good news, press 1 on your keypad. And those of you in the chat room, you can post in the your question in the chat room or the Life Conversations Radio like page on Facebook. We'll be happy to take your questions. And as I always say, we prefer phone calls. Rev D.
Hello.
I don't have a question. Well, I have a question of something else, but you took us on a journey just now. And just the way you broke that down, given the, you know, the metaphysical meaning, what the rock represents and the sand, it just woke something up in me. And I mean, the way you tell the story, I'm hearing it differently. And I am hearing it. It's not even like I am hearing it differently. And you know, the spiritual quality of resilience has a whole new meaning. And for me, as I think about it, been thinking about it the last few days, well, I don't remember when I got the topic, but I saw it as when we just do not give up. But as I listen to you, it's a little bit more than not giving up, because not giving up, it's, for me, seems like holding on, hoping. But where you brought us to is like, it's like there's just connecting with an inner knowing that we are going to get through it. So I just feel all relaxed, like you did an internal meditation. If that makes any sense. I feel like inside I'm just all relaxed and chilled. I'm like, okay, we're done with this. I'm good. I got what I need.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. It's I'm looking up definitions here online. You know, I like definitions. It says the power or ability to return to the original form, position, etc., after being bent, compressed, or stretched. It's elasticity. Second definition, ability to recover readily from illness, depression, adversity, or the like. A buoyancy. Webster, same thing. The capability of a strained body to recover its size and shape after deformation caused, especially by compressive stress. An ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. Yes, it's the recovery part. That after the winds and the rain, you know, beat you up, they leave their mark. But the house still stands. So it's able to be repaired. It's able to be repaired. But when we have our life built upon stuff that's coming and going and isn't true, we have to rebuild from scratch. You know what I mean?
So, yes, I do.
Yeah,
when your
life falls down because you were anchored in something other than truth.
Right.
You have the sensation of starting all over again. When you're anchored in some kind of truth and you come up against adversity, you have more the feeling of like taking a licking.
Right.
You know, you took a few blows, but hey, you know, give me a little rest, and whatnot, and I will recuperate. I see it happen all the time, being a minister. And there's nothing like the sudden jolt, the sudden loss. Whatever that may be. And, you know, around here we've been kind of working through some stuff. There was a young girl, 12 years old, who went to school right down the street. She went to school with my assistant's kids, was killed in an auto accident over the weekend. And it comes on the heels of another kid here that was very brutally murdered in a really awful situation just, you know, less than 2 weeks before. And feeling what the community has been going through, you know, around these two little girls. And it's so interesting to see the different reactions and responses that the ones who have some kind of spiritual grounding have a place to go to. They have a balm. There's a salve for the wounds. The ones who don't are just in anger and rage and dismay, where what's happened is literally tearing them apart. And that doesn't mean that you aren't sad, you know, or that you don't grieve. But when your house is built on something solid, even when you're not sure if you're going to make it, you do. You come back. That original form. Not necessarily what you looked like before, but your spiritual form. When you know this, then you're not as devastated by everything that happens.
Yes.
It's funny, as I listen to you, I had an experience yesterday, not to compare it to the loss of a daughter or anything like that, but I was getting ready for my radio show, and I turned on my computer, and it said, this computer needs to be recovered because there's some files missing. And I was like, whoa, ain't nobody got time for that. Stop it. So I turned it off, turned it back on. It just worked. And I knew there's something going on with it, and I've been planning to send it off to get it checked. What I noticed in me, which really, in a sense, it kind of surprised me in a good way, like, wow. I was getting ready for the show. The laptop wasn't working. I have another one, but that's quite slow, so I very rarely use it. But I had this, I was thinking of all the files that I can't get access to. But I noticed myself, I was concerned, but not devastated. I didn't go into, oh my God, my files. They kind of just like, how do I get it back? There's a lot of information on my computer. And I just observed myself like, well, actually, I like this. And it reminded me of what you said last week, when you said your bottom is a little bit higher now. Mm-hmm. And it was such a refreshing experience for me that I didn't go into, oh my God, I'm going to lose all. I mean, I just thought, okay, I was still concerned. Thankfully, my brother repairs computers, and he had one that I can use. And 5 minutes before the show, he got it back working. And according to the message we were getting, I thought the computers crashed completely. It did change things around, but the experience for me was, I know that there would have been a time that I would just be like, oh my God, all the files, the music, and all the things, I would never get them back again. I was just calm. And that's something, you know, everybody knows this song, you sing it. The joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. That's, I had that experience that nothing can take that away from me, because as a state, that's a place in consciousness that I've cultivated. And it's very reassuring. It's very reassuring.
We sing that often.
Yes.
The joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, so the world can't take it away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Do we have any callers or any questions?
Well, we have callers that are listening. They didn't press one, so callers, if you have any questions, if you have some thoughts, press one on your keypad. No question in the chat room.
Give them the number again.
347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And make sure you press one on your keypad. Now, in the meantime, Rev D, I have a question. I don't know, you may tie it together, but for me, it's not really to do with resilience. It's a social thing that I'm observing, that there's a part of me that says, yes, I get it. But there's another part of me that's saying, what is really going on? And so I think yesterday in the news or something, somewhere, I don't know if it was in The View, somewhere I found out that one of the major retailers, Target, and now stopped selling gender-specific toys. And they're going to do away with signs that say boys and girls. And there's a part of me that gets it, I understand, but it just seems to me that, and I'm just going to just tell you as I see it, I feel like I won't say to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but it's like we're just going so somewhere. Somewhere, it's like I feel like we can still have signs saying boys and girls. However, we need to expand our consciousness. We need to understand the stereotypes that we place on one another. We need to move from tolerating to accepting. And I find myself saying, well, maybe this is moving in that direction when we're not gender specific and we're gender neutral. But it seems to me that it just seems like playing that game of saying, well, let's not see color. I'm not even saying it's a racial thing, but that same mentality where I don't see color. And so suddenly that eliminates racism. And I've been playing this in my head over and over. So I want to hear
your thoughts.
Please.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty passionate on this one.
Right, that's why I'm asking you.
So, you know, I won my lawsuit like 30 years ago against a restaurant in Los Angeles that refused to serve my partner and I in the romantic section of its restaurant. And we won at the appellate level, certified for publication. It's in the law books. My attorney was Gloria Allred, who has represented a lot of high-powered cases along the way. Nicole Simpson, and I'm pretty sure she's in some of the Black Lives Matter stuff. She's Barracuda.
I just Googled her.
Part of the reason why I chose her was because she had successfully done that very thing that you're talking about over 30-something years ago with Save-On Drugstore, where she had been successful in that. She was successful in this other restaurant, L'Angerie, where a couple had gone, and they had different color menus that were kind of velvety, a magenta for the women, and a navy blue for the men. The magenta one for the women didn't have prices. Okay. And it was a woman who was taking her husband out for dinner, and they were refusing to let her like pay or to see even the prices. At that time she had also won against Nordstrom's for charging more money to tailor women's suits than men's, when there really was no substantive difference in the amount of work or whatnot that it took. Here's the thing, is that those toys are not boys' toys or girls' toys. Those are just toys. That's all that they are. And when you mark them as being for one or another, that's just like marking it, this is colored and this is white. Youth people can't go through that door. You can't play with the doctor's kit. You have to have the doll. Or even vice versa. In my office right now, my church facility manager had this beautiful thing, this beautiful wooden, I never seen the thing quite that elaborate. It was like a little kitchen stove thing. That's for her little grandson who lives with her. And I was marveling with her how proud I was that my grandnephew had a birthday party here at my center when he was 4 years old. And their family's Mexican. These are in-laws of mine, Mexican-American. And I was noticing all these different kind of toys that he had gotten. And there was the Spider-Man and all this stuff, but he had gotten this cooking stuff, and I wasn't sure how his macho dad was going to take it. And I was so pleased. When he was like, hey, Papa, you know, what are you making here? Frijoles? You know, and you know, don't you got tortilla or anything? You know, and the boy is just like whipping up some tortillas and, hey, I bought the barbacoa. And he's pretending like he's chopping up the barbacoa. And I thought, wow, I was just so glad that he didn't like whoop him upside the head. You know, you're being sissy or something for playing with this thing. We really do have to give everybody equal opportunity. Because you don't know. Sunday I preached at this church called the City of Refuge, which is basically like a black Pentecostal church in Oakland. And there was a guy, he was the scrawniest, geekiest looking thing you ever wanted to see in your life. White, right? Glasses. He played that piano. He played that piano. I was just feet away from him. I kept looking at him like, and I got to be honest, I was thinking this, no, this white boy ain't playing. Oh, no, he's not. He ain't playing this piano like this. Go on with your bad self. It's we've got, I hear Jesse Jackson in my head now. When Tiger Woods started taking the charts, he said, you'll never know how good the game can be till everybody can play. The bigger question that we have to ask ourselves is, why is it necessary? Not, you know, shouldn't we, but what do you gain by doing it? What do you gain by doing it? And toys are so important. Toys are so important. This is part of how we won Brown versus Board of Education. The famous experiment about the dolls, where they had white doll and a black doll, and they asked the little black kids, which was the good doll? And the good doll was the white doll. They said, which doll looks more like you? And they either did one or two things. They chose the white doll, no matter how black their own skin was, or they just broke down and cried at the implication of the choice. You know, I hear what you, you know, I can understand the sentiment. But put it in racial terms.
Right.
Put it in racial terms. Do you really want to say, this is for blacks and this is for whites? I'm serious.
No, I know. I just feel my body just get hot as you said that. Like
That's the question. So is this music? Who's this music for? Who gets to play with this thing and who gets to play with that one? No, if this is an intellectual puzzle or whatnot, no, this is the white one. You get the basketball. You know, who gets to say who gets slated into one direction? And if you don't do it racially, don't do it on sex or gender. Case after case after case is built on that. The whole marriage equality stuff that we've just seen has been built on the same logic and the same stuff around race. Where we used to say you can't marry somebody because of their race. Will they keep labeling clothes?
No, they
probably.
They said one of the statements said, for example, in the kids' bedding area, signs will no longer feature sections for boys or girls, just kids.
Good.
And then they talk about it.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that for certain clothing things, they might.
Okay.
Because folks are just shaped differently.
Right.
And you really are making different ones because of weight and height and chest size and you know, all the rest of that kind of stuff. So you might still do that. And quiet is kept so much of our clothing is already unisex.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the casual clothes, shorts, jeans, t-shirts,
right,
jackets, all that kind of stuff. It is.
So, Rev D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you say put in racial terms, I get it. And it seems to me that as a society, I mean, everything that you said, I can't say, oh, no, I disagree with that. I mean, really what I'm asking you, I want to see different. I want to even check in myself what is, if there's a, well, it seems like there's a resistance, but the resistance for me is almost like, it's that same analogy when people say, well, I'm colorblind. It seems to me, and that's where I'm trying to see something differently. So when you say put in racial terms, I can go there, but I still feel like there's still a part of me saying, yeah. Go ahead.
But you're comparing apples and oranges.
Okay.
Okay. Your colorblind would be for me to say, I don't see boys or I don't see girls.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not saying we should be colorblind racially. I'm not saying that we should say, I can't see the difference and I can't tell whether somebody's black or white or whatever. Mm. What I am saying is that people should have access to the same stuff.
Right.
Don't limit their access because preconceived ideas that you have
mm-hmm.
about what they're supposed to like, what they're supposed to be, what best suits their kind,
mm-hmm.
don't pigeonhole them because of their race. Not saying
right.
act like you don't see it, but don't predetermine who they are and restrict their mm. access and make certain things mandatory because of them. You know, when I was growing up, for example, the girls were forced to take home economics.
Mm.
And the right. boys had to take woodshop and crafting. I wanted to take woodshop. And what would be so wrong if a boy wanted to learn how to cook?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to culinary schools, they're full of males. You go to a restaurant, it's almost a surprise if you see a female chef.
Yeah.
So it's like, so what's the big deal? Why can't a woman take auto mechanics? And, you know, case in point. American women just took the World Cup. Soccer. A game we didn't even play. I'm 59. Growing up, we didn't even play soccer. We are late to the table. And yet, we've taken the World Cup. That's twice now for the American women. They did it before, I think it was like in the 90s.
Right.
Even earlier. But you know why? It was this little thing called Title IX, which basically mandated that sports departments in secondary schools had to spend money on girls' sports. We didn't even spend the money on girls' sports before.
Interesting.
We didn't spend money on women's education before. You didn't need it. We'll educate the boys. But the girls don't need education. They don't need to read those books. They don't need all that. You never want to limit somebody's growth and potential. And the things about toys is that it sparks the imagination. It sparks the imagination. And you never know what a kid is going to grow up to be. You don't know. Maybe the boy is going to be the fashion designer. And maybe the girl's going to be the astronaut. Mm-hmm. Let them have a sewing machine. But if you label it girls, then he's never going to find that talent. And he will be teased forever. There'll be certain things he'll never explore. If you label it boys, the girls aren't even going to take a look at it. They're not even going to explore it.
Mm.
Because that's unladylike.
Right.
That's all. It's just about access. It's not colorblind. It's not saying that there are not boys or that there are not girls or there are not people with differing things. You know, it's I can hear Chris Rock in my head now. This was after we first started Shock and Awe, you know, back in like 2001 or two. I won't tell you the whole joke because it gets a little raunchy. But but at this particular point in time, Yao Ming was playing for the NBA from China. Like 7374, something like that. Eminem had just gotten the thing for best rapper. Tiger Woods was storming the place as a golfer. And he starts off and he says, "What's the world coming to?" he says, "When the best golfer in the world is black, and the best rapper in the world is white, and the tallest man in the NBA is Chinese." You just don't know. And I followed too many pioneers. Marian Anderson, you know, the first black woman to sing opera in Carnegie Hall. You know, that wouldn't have been your kind of music. And that's on my mind right now, not to just keep going on and on about it, but it's on my mind right now because I was just watching the Nina Simone story on TNT, I mean on Netflix. I haven't finished it.
Yeah.
What Happened to You, Nina Simone? Think it's called, and I'm only about halfway through it, and I hadn't realized that she was classical, that she was a classical pianist. She wasn't even a singer, but that's all she wanted to do. She just wanted to be a classical pianist, and how she got slated into this blues jazz thing and didn't want to sing. And actually got threatened that she would lose her job at this bar if she didn't also start singing. Her real name wasn't Nina Simone. She had been, I think, like in Juilliard or something like that, but somehow the funding ran out or whatnot, and she was hiding the fact that she, from her parents and everybody, that she was making a living doing this secular music. So she came up with a pseudonym, Nina Simone. to hide from everybody. That,
wow.
Yeah. And then it goes through saying how when she did get to Carnegie Hall, how disillusioned she was. Because that had been her dream. And she got to Carnegie Hall, but her thing was, but I thought I would be playing Bach.
Mm.
It's like the world just was, the powers that be and the money, they were just not going to give her play. As a concert classical pianist. I hear the concern. I do. And it speaks to a much larger conversation about gender stuff that probably isn't appropriate, and we're at the end of this show now.
Right.
Okay? But what I can say, and where I do think it relates to the whole concept of resilience, is that if you squash people and you pigeonhole them, you try to keep them away from different kinds of things, there is something in the soul that will gravitate there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to break the mold. Somebody's going to come out of it. If you don't give them the tools, they'll make the tools. You don't give them the instruments, you know, they'll create them. That there's something in the human soul that just wants to be. And let's not squash it. Let's not squash dreams and potential and capability. Let's let everybody go for whatever it is that they can do. And watch the magic.
Well, I'm glad I asked the question, because what is done for me is, because I really don't have any issues with the toys. They're saying they're making that gender neutral. I have no issues with that. And when I heard the story, they don't give you the full story, and that's why you got to do your own research. It was almost like anything that reflects boys and girls is just going to be gender neutral. Now, just before during the show, I Googled the information, and I saw that, well, they were talking about some certain areas. The toys part didn't bother me, but really, listening to you kind of opens me up to, as you said, something that's even beyond that. What is happening in humanity that's actually having us have this kind of conversation now and saying and taking actions like that? Because those kind of things. It's just, I thought it felt to me first when I heard the story, like, we just want to whitewash everything, no pun intended. Let's not do gender anymore. It's like, wait, but what about the humanity? What about the person? Let's not forget that. So, what you brought to the table. Go ahead.
I don't think that's what's happening. Let's not bring it in unnecessarily. When I was coming up, the want ads used to say, males want it, females want it. They actually used to say that. And the managerial jobs and whatnot were not for the females. They were for the males. And the women had secretarial jobs and that kind of stuff. I remember there had to be lawsuits to let men become telephone operators. Because that was reserved strictly for women. Or now you have a male nurse. That was just unheard of.
Right. Yeah.
He had to be the doctor. Mm-hmm. And the woman had to be the nurse. The woman wasn't going to be the doctor. You know, why are you, you know, it's like, why are you confusing stuff up? The men had to, the men had to sue to become flight attendants.
Right, right.
Because it was reserved just for quote unquote stewardesses. And even they weren't allowed to get married or have children.
Mm-hmm.
That was very common. Still, this kind of access thing. Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's mother, same thing. Both of them had been trained teachers that had to give up their careers when they got married.
Hmm.
Once again, this idea of gender and you're a woman, yeah, you could teach, but if you're a woman and married, then your job is at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why put shackles and restrictions and constrictions on people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see who you are. I see your boy. I see your girl. I see your this. I see your that. And let me celebrate that. And let me see just how far you can go as that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's our society being resilient.
Yeah.
Because all of those are man-made restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll end on this note. Quiet as it's kept. If you took away the billions of dollars that we pay on cosmetics and hair care, and fashion. if everybody's hair just grew.
Mm-hmm. And women accept themselves naturally that I'm beautiful, I don't need makeup. Oh gosh.
If everybody just didn't try to look like this gender, that,
right,
we wouldn't look all that much different.
I don't know about that image. You're right, but
but it's true.
I know what you mean. I just,
if everybody's hair just grew,
oh Lord,
and women didn't wax, and nobody shaved their legs. No, I'm
sure. Armpits.
Nobody shaved their legs or their underarms or plucked any hairs or cut their hair short or long. It'd be a lot more like little kids where you're not really sure who's who.
Ooh, what a visual, Rev D. Thank you for that. I'm clear now. Oh, wow. That would change a lot of things. That's a visual.
All right.
Thank you, Rev D. Thank you, Rev. Thank you for that. Have a great evening. Yeah, that's a good place to release the show. Now, chew on that. I'm so glad I asked that question. I didn't feel intimidated or anything, because it's not that I think, you know, we all can do whatever we want to do, but I love where Rev D took it and how she, you know, what she helped me see to get beyond the headlines, if you will. You've been listening to Living in the West with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We call her Rev D. You can find out more about her by going to innerlightministries.com and deborahjohnson.org. You can find out more about her work. She's creating change. She's making change happen. She just helped me go deeper. Just for the record, I wasn't tripping. I really believe everybody can do well. I have next time, maybe next week, I want to talk about a woman can do anything a man can do. We're going to have that conversation maybe next week. Because a man can do everything a woman can do. And a woman can do everything a man can do. We'll save that for next week. I just want to tell you that we love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. And we invite you to join the conversation. Bring the hard questions. you know, the things that you don't know how to share with others, let's talk about it. Because when we share, we grow together. And when we talk about it, we dialogue about it, we all change. We become more. This is Bishop Carlton Pearson. Everything must change. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. Thank you for tuning in. Bishop Carlton, you can find him on bishoppearson.com or iTunes. Once again, this is Everything Must Change. We are changing and we are the change. Peace in and peace out.
Everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold, 'cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. A wounded heart will heal. Yes, it will. But never much too soon. Yes, everything must change. The young become the old. Mysteries do change. There are not many things in life you can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, farmer's ground is plowed, people live and people die, yeah, but still we can revive. We must always try. Seasons come and go, winter brings fresh snow, little birds always sing, summer beaches foam, you will never walk alone. Changes, 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 everything changes, 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 come on children. Everything.
Where you're going is better than where you've been. And the good news is that the bad news was all wrong. What's coming for you is better. I tell you, it is better. Oh my God, it is better. You don't have to worry about a thing. Don't you worry. Don't you worry about a thing. Why? See this. Rain comes from the clouds. The sun lights up the sky. And this music makes us thrive. Thank God for this change.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.